Welcome back to this second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning, and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians. All while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
And we're back. It's hour number two of Leading Edge Medicine. Dr. Jerry Mixon here and Dr. Samira Umat. And a bunch of calls. Let's dive right in from Seattle. Kay is on the line with her question. Hi, Kay.
Hello, Kay.
Hi. Do I remember correctly that in the past you have said that the bone medications like Fosamax, if you don't stress your bones, that they don't really build stronger bones? Is that what I remember you saying in the past?
No, actually the Fosamax and so on will give harder bone no matter what you do or don't do. That's part of why they're popular, is that Americans don't want to have to actually do anything.
Just pop a pill.
Yes.
Pop your pill. But they don't make normal bone. Okay. The trabecular bone, the bone inside, that matrix that provides the stability, is still shriveling up and going away. What it does, the cortical bone, that outside layer, gets very hard. Unfortunately, it also gets brittle. So if you're taking those drugs, you are less likely to break a bone because it is harder than it otherwise would be. The downside is that if you break that bone, healing will be slower and abnormal.
Okay. The reason I ask is I've been in a wheelchair for 47 years, and I don't, you know, I haven't stood even.
And, yes.
And so I've kind of refrained from taking it. But getting to my main question that I called about is they have found precancer in my exterior perineum area.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, like I said, I sit all day.
Right.
And they're going to cut about a quarter size and an inch deep of that area and put a lot of stitches in there.
Yep.
And I'm wondering if you have any suggestions on what kind of a diet because I don't want to worry about having the stitches break open. So I was wondering if you could give me a little advice on that. Somebody has said a lot of fiber, but I'm wondering if that, because I sit all the time.
Right. She's wanting not to strain, right, with bowel movement.
Well, she doesn't want to strain with bowel movement, but she's having to sit on that incision.
Right. Yeah, so any suggestions for me?
Okay. Can you stand with a walker, or can you stand at all?
No, my legs don't work at all.
I see. Okay.
Now, have you got a rubber donut to sit on?
I do not. When I had my children, I was walking.
So, okay.
No.
Well, you might have somebody bring you one. Okay. What will happen is they have these inflatable red rubber donuts, basically.
Yeah.
And they provide a pad with an opening in the center so that you put that stitched area over the center, where the rest of you is supported on, you know, the soft foam, but you have no pressure where the incision is. And that'll take some of the stress off that.
Yeah.
Give it a chance to heal.
Are they typically pretty thick? Because, I'm 78 years old. Thankfully, I am strong for my age.
Mm-hmm.
However, lifting my body you know, more than a couple of inches. It's not easy either.
Right.
So do you have any idea about how thick those?
You know, your physical therapist or even the occupational therapist will need to be involved to help get the right prescription for you.
That's right. They come in different sizes, different thicknesses, and so on. So it can be fitted properly, but you're going to need somebody to basically take a look, help get you up, get you down
it. And if you have a cushion on your chair, they may even remove the cushion and just put the donut in its place.
Oh, good idea.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what about food? I mean, what are you, I mean, thinking, you know, like smoothies, lots of, but then they're concerned that that might be too soft and have diarrhea, which, you know, again, then you got to worry about infection. And what is your thinking?
Well, you know, I want you to do two things, really. I want you to have adequate protein. You know, older folks don't digest protein as efficiently, so we actually need more than we needed when we were young. And if you're going to grow new tissue, you're going to need the protein there. Okay.
And you're talking real protein, not the, you know, powder stuff that you put into smoothies.
That works too.
Okay.
Yeah, that's hydrolyzed protein. That's actually pre-digested for you so that you don't have to worry about the digestion. Okay. The problem old folks have with protein is we don't break it down as efficiently. With the hydrolyzed proteins, now you've just got an amino acid and it's all ready to be used. So those are great as long as you're not sensitive to it and get diarrhea from it. You know, some people are sensitive to the whey-based, and others don't tolerate the soy-based. But if you've got one you tolerate well, that's a very nice solution to get adequate protein in for healing.
Okay, but do I need a lot of fiber besides then? I mean, you know, typically
always,
in my smoothies,
always
I
fiber.
Yes, you do.
Yes, always.
And the, you know, if I put it in my smoothie, it's all smashed up. Is that okay? Is that still
fiber? Yes, it is.
Yes,
fiber?
No, it's just fine. The fiber does not have to be intact. Okay, it's going to be absorbed through your body anyway. So
we have both
soluble and insoluble fibers. The insoluble fiber stays in your bowel and thickens it. The soluble fiber actually goes into solution and your body absorbs it.
Okay, so are you thinking that it would be okay to maybe have a couple of smoothies a day?
Yes.
And then,
yes.
But I have to eat the real food too, or not?
I always like real food. I mean, unless you're on a weight loss diet, the smoothies are not going to be enough calories to get you through the day. So, you know, if you're trying to lose weight, fine. Just a couple of smoothies might be okay. But if you're trying to maintain body weight, and I never recommend people try to lose weight while recovering from surgery. You need your energy to heal and repair.
And the energy is not going to come from sugar. So don't put ice cream in the smoothie.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't. But I'm just curious, you know, because I want to make sure that I don't split the... Because when I had my first child, now, like I said, I was walking, but I had to have him cesarean, and I pushed too hard when I got home, and half of the stitches opened up.
Mm-hmm.
And even though that was 54 years ago, I remember vividly. So I don't want to make the same mistake this time. So that's why I'm wondering how much fiber.
If they're going to go an inch deep, this will probably be closed in layers. Okay. Back in my surgery days, when I was doing a deep incision, I would do that in about three or four layers. I'd do kind of large loops with something absorbable down deep. Then I'd do a little bit deeper below the skin, fascial layer, and then I'd do a skin layer so that there's not just one set of stitches. There's a whole three different sets that are holding everything together.
Oh, okay. So obviously if she's a really good surgeon, that's probably what she would do.
That would be my expectation, yeah.
And so my fear of the stitches breaking open are not quite as desperate as I make them seem.
That's right. Yeah, you know, when you're having a C-section, usually the dehiscence you get is just on the surface anyway. It's usually not down into the fascia. The fascia is pretty tough.
Uh-huh.
So Just the surface is about the only thing I've ever seen open up.
Yeah. Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. Hopefully that's helpful for you, Kay.
Yes. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Oh, you bet.
Take care, right. Young lady. Bye-bye.
Yeah, thank you for calling in.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We're going to head north now to Marysville. We have Stephanie calling in. Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning. Thank you for being there.
Yes.
Hey, I thought of another question. I hope you don't mind. But my main question is, how do I know if I need to take selenium? I do take a Brazil nut every day. I follow a vegan diet, but I do eat a Brazil nut. And then my second question is, what do you think about tretinoin cream for an aging face?
Okay.
Well, the selenium is pretty easy. I mean, if you've been told you're deficient, then I would take it. And in our clinic, we measure. And also clinically, I'll use it if my patients are reporting symptoms of hypothyroidism and I feel like they would get a boost from extra selenium. If you're asking, do I need it, then the only objective way is, okay, measure it and let you know. And in our micronutrient test, we can test.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise, just take a Brazil nut.
Sorry, we're back down to Dr. Mixon's rules, which is if you don't measure, you don't know.
Right.
So.
Right.
Wow. And just one nut?
It used to be said that just because I took levothyroxine, 25 micrograms, just because I took that, then I needed selenium. But I wonder if that's true.
Not necessarily true. No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
Low selenium is one reason to have low thyroid.
That's right.
But it doesn't mean that everybody with low thyroid has low selenium.
That's right.
Okay. Good. And then what about the tretinoin cream for skin care?
So why are you using it? Just anti-aging or hyperpigmentation or what's the issue?
Anti-aging, I've heard that it makes your skin look nice and I could use that.
You know, everybody wants beautiful skin, but some of them are prescriptions. And I would just say, speak to a master esthetician about your skin needs before you go buying things. It's, you know, in our clinic, a consultation doesn't cost you anything. If you bring up the issue, they'll tell you exactly what you need. Sometimes you think you need something, but it's not really what you need. You may need more volume or you may have hyperpigmentation and they may recommend something completely different. Sometimes all you need is a sunblock. So, you know, come in and a lot of needs change as the season changes. Sometimes it's hydration, either not enough hydration or not enough nutrients. So they'll talk to you about all of these different issues. So I'm not in favor of buying something just because, you know, it's common and every social media post says use this for anti-aging.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, basically the purpose of those retinoids is to try to speed up the skin turnover. Older people, we don't make skin as fast as we did when we were young. But there's a lot of other reasons that you want to, other things you need to do if you really want your skin to be pretty.
That's right. And, you know, there are problems with sun exposure with them. So I'd be very careful and I would maybe do a chemical peel or something like that. So I think a free consultation with a master esthetician is the way to go.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, Stephanie, thank you for your call. And we will be back with Rich in just a moment. Stay right there. This is Leading Edge Medicine. With Dr. Mixon and Dr. Umat. My name is Lynette, and we're going to the phones. We're headed to Redmond. We have Rich on the line. Thank you for waiting, Rich. How are you?
Hey, very good. Thank you. I have one issue I need to talk to Dr. Mixon about, and that is there something in particular which you have found effective maybe for yourself regarding enlarged prostate and slow urine flow as you get older? What do you do that's helpful?
Yep, a couple of things. First of all, if you're already having the slow urine flow, it's a little late to do the first one, which is progesterone. Progesterone actually alters the function of the alpha estrogen receptors in the prostate. See, we men have estrogen receptors in our prostate. And young men have enough progesterone that those receptors are basically inactive. But when we get old and our progesterone levels drop, that estrogen receptors in the prostate actually starts to immortalize the prostate cells. So because the cells are not dying as fast, but they're still being created, the prostate gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. So, okay, so using progesterone on men in their 40s, 50s, early 60s before the prostate is too big will often help them to not get the problem in the first place.
I'm mid-60s.
Yeah. If you're already getting symptoms, then, you know, it's too late for that. Although I'd continue it just because I want to slow down any further growth. The other thing you can do is tadalafil. Which is Cialis. It was actually designed as a rectal disorder drug, but it turns out that as a muscle relaxer, it relaxes that prostatic urethra and allows the urine to flow much more freely. So 5 milligrams of tadalafil a day will both give you better urine flow and enhance erectile function. So that's two very good things. Another thing about it is it cuts your risk. Tadalafil, T-A-D-A-L.
I-F-I-L. Or Cialis.
Yeah, Cialis is the brand name. And tadalafil cuts the risk of prostate cancer in half in one study, and it lowers the risk of spread of other cancers like colon cancer, and it lowers your risk of dying from a heart attack. And it increases blood flow in your brain. So it seems to me that virtually everybody over about 50 should be on tadalafil. It's one of those drugs I get tempted to stick in the water supply.
Well, because women could benefit from it too.
Yes. And in fact, I've put a lot of women on it. My wife takes it. And that's because, they don't have a penis. We're not worried. And they don't have a prostate. So we're not worried about prostate and we're not worried about erectile function. But they've got a clitoris. And so they get a better clitoral erection. And they have a brain and they have a heart and they're at risk for cancers. And so why not put them on something that slows all that down? You know.
Is it on prescription only?
Oh, yes. It's a prescription drug. But it's dirt cheap. I mean, you can buy 90 of them for $55 or something. I mean, it's not 50 cents a piece, you know.
Okay, and how about as far as the prostate size itself, since that's usually the culprit for slowing down the urine flow, is there anything to reduce that size?
Well, yeah, a couple of things. One is rapamycin, which is probably the most effective anti-aging drug we currently have. It improves brain function, skin function, decreases cancer, improves heart output, kidney function.
Well, but how is he going to get injury?
I'm just telling what can be done. Okay. I'm not his doctor. He has talked to his doctor about that. And most doctors don't prescribe it, by the by.
But he could do something like saw palmetto or something like that.
Saw palmetto works kind of.
Yeah, kind of. I know, but he can get that easily, Jerry.
He can get that over the counter. Yeah. And then we have a device at our clinic that you don't have to be a regular patient to use. You can just come in and use it. It's a sound wave therapy that basically focuses on the prostate and improves urine flow and seems to decrease the congestion and swelling of the prostate.
Okay. So, as far as over the counter,
saw palmetto.
Yep. That's the only thing
that's about it. Yeah. Well, DIM, diindolyl methane.
Diindol methane, DIM.
Yeah.
And you put that in our men's formula.
Mm-hmm.
And what is that? What is that one? I couldn't understand that one.
Okay, DIM, and we have a supplement we sell called Men's Formula that has a lot of that in it. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, sounds like there's not a whole lot.
There's a whole lot. You just need to go to a clinic that does this sort of thing.
Tamsulosin. We forgot about tamsulosin.
Tamsulosin.
Yeah,
but again, that's a urologist.
Yeah.
But that doesn't protect his heart or his prostate.
No. So, I know that.
All right. Well, at least there's a few good ideas. Thank you very much, sir.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Rich.
Bye-bye.
All right. Headed to Marysville again. We've been to Marysville a couple times this morning. Stan has a question for us. Hi, Stan.
Hello, Stan.
Hi. Hey. Pretty routine question for you all, I suffer from gout flare-ups from time to time. Mm-hmm. And so I've been treating with watching my diet purine heavy foods, avoid that.
Uh-huh.
Try to stay hydrated, avoid sugars, alcohol. I haven't cut it off. I've been able to manage it with, I call them gout units, but things that would increase the likelihood of gout. I spread those out and go days of rest between when I like red meat. I might have a serving of that, but then I won't have anything that's on the purine list for a couple days before and a couple days after.
Good.
So now I had one show up that didn't seem to be particularly dietary influenced. It could have been, but not much. So just what are your thoughts around treating gout, and am I relegated if I want to be free of this to allopurinol or one of those?
Well, allopurinol is kind of the standard, has been for 50 years or more. And that basically allows your body to process uric acid into urea and dump it out in your kidneys. So, you know, that's kind of the standard. And it's just one pill a day. Most people do just fine with it. So it's not terribly expensive. It doesn't have a lot of side effects, and it solves the problem for most people. So I would strongly urge you to talk to your doctor about allopurinol.
Okay, that's helpful. I read the side effects, and it sounds daunting, but I guess they're the 1 in 1,000 or 1 in 100 that have this side effect or that side effect get included in that. And I'm, okay.
Yeah.
So
and what you do is you
see if I tolerate it.
Yeah, you start it with a low dose, you know, and just slowly work it up and make sure you're tolerating it and not having adverse effects. The other thing I didn't hear you mention was tart cherry juice.
Yes, I've tried that in the past, but I haven't been assiduous about it. So
okay.
That's another way and another thing I could do. You're right.
Yeah, because using the tart cherry juice just as a, you know, as a common drink, and you can even add it to your green tea. It makes the green tea taste better. It's just a very innocuous, inexpensive thing to do. So,
for a therapeutic effect, what's the therapeutic dose of dark cherry? How much should I have a day?
You know, the tart cherry therapeutic dose is probably up around 8 ounces a day, and that's a fairly high calorie load too. So, you know, I'd be a little cautious. I would just kind of throw it in as an adjunct. You know.
Okay.
So,
baking soda? How about taking baking soda as a regular? Any truth to that? I saw that online one time.
I've never seen a study on it. It's one of those things I've heard people talk about, but quite frankly, I've never taken the time and effort to look it up and see if it has a real physiologic basis behind it.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, well, that's super helpful. Thank you so much.
All right. You take care, sir. Good luck. Bye-bye.
Yes, very good, Stan. Thank you so much for that call. We are almost time for a break. We're going to do that and back with more of your phone calls. Michelle and Tom, you're next, and we have room for you as well. 206-644-6006 is the number to call. This is Leading Edge Medicine.
Living on love, buying on time. Without somebody, nothing ain't worth a dime. Just like an old-fashioned storybook rhyme.
living on love. It sounds simple, that's what you're thinking. But love can walk through fire without blinking. It doesn't take much when you get enough living on love.
And we're back. It's Leading Edge Medicine. Hi there. Did you pick out that song, Dr.
Mixon? I did pick out that song. I like that song.
Good one, Living on Love. Yes.
I like that song, too.
We all like that one. Yes.
Well, you know, I heard that song the first time, I don't know, 6 months or so ago. And
Oh, wow.
It, you know how songs always evoke
memories.
Memories in the past. And I remember this one when we were, you know, I was young and married, having the first set of kids. I didn't have much money. I was still a student. I was selling Fuller Brush door to door between classes.
Oh, wow.
And working as a janitor in the hospital at night to keep the family fed. And we're barely managing to do that. We had, we used to keep a big stock pot on the stove. We'd throw beans and lentil and stuff, and we couldn't afford meat. And so we'd go to the butcher and just buy bones.
Get a bone, yes.
Throw the bones in for flavoring, you know. And I heard that. Hear that song, and it just kind of evoked that young, starving student phase in my life. You know? We used to have we were living in a house built in 1892, and it had a floor furnace, but the thermostat didn't work very well. So it's in Salt Lake City. We'd wake up in the morning, and we could see our breath in the bedroom.
Oh, boy, that's cold.
And we hop up, and we run out to the living room where the floor furnace was, wrapped in a quilt. And you had to jump up and down on the furnace to shake it enough that it would start.
And then
the heat would come up under the quilt, and we'd get dressed under the quilt.
Yes.
In the winter mornings before...
Oh, boy, that is
starving
a good memory.
Students.
Yes. I love the country doctor days for Dr. Mixon. So, Oh, this is Leading Edge Medicine. We're going to stay in the Seattle area, and we have Michelle on the line. Hi, Michelle.
Hi. Am I on?
You are.
Thousands of people listening to you, Michelle. Don't get nervous now.
Woohoo! No pressure.
No, I talked to you last year because I'm only here like 6 months. I live in California also. I talked to you last year, and a friend of mine, Bonnie Azelworth from Edmonds, is my friend, and we always listen to you. So I learned a lot from the last guy that called about the, oh no, it was a lady, about the hydrolyzed protein and about that our age, we don't digest protein like before. I never knew that. So that's one thing I learned from your other caller.
We're good.
Now. Yeah. So the other question, I bought this Remind by Dr. Jonathan Wright because I can't remember anything. I'm an 80 young woman. I'm not your normal 80, but I am 80, and I forget everything. And are you laughing? So anyway, there is an ingredient in here that I got nervous about, and it's called lithium orlate, and it's 20 milligram, and that scared me. Is that something to worry about?
No, it's kind of on the upper end of low dose lithium therapy. Shouldn't really cause any problems at those doses. I mean, when we give lithium to people with bipolar disease, we're giving them, you know, 200 milligrams three times a day. So 20 milligrams once a day is not going to do much of anything, I wouldn't think.
Well, it's actually an 8 capsules serving size.
Wow.
It's a lot of capsule. And I'm like, what is this lithium? I don't know, just the name of it, you know, scares me.
Well, the lithium doesn't worry me much. I'm looking at this label. Taurine is good. That helps older people to have both better brain and muscle function. The quercetin is a good anti-inflammatory, and carnosine, that also helps with your muscle mass.
Oh, good.
Sage extract, not so sure about that one, but, you know, the only thing I see is sage. The Native Americans like to burn sage to chase away the evil humors.
I have a friend that's a Native American, and mm-hmm. I have sage in my house all over the place.
Sure, yeah. And let's see.
Turmeric.
And again, turmeric's a good potent anti-inflammatory. It helps protect your bowel against colon cancers and your joints against inflammation.
Niacin. I always take niacinamide. Yeah. I have, bad circulation in my legs. Mm-hmm. I have the veins all over my legs. I mean, it's just... Yeah.
So is this is one of Jonathan's supplements?
Huh? Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
well, Jonathan. Congratulations to Jonathan. I think he did a decent job with this one. I'm impressed. He did good work.
It's called Remind, and the other day my friend Bonnie calls me and says, "Oh, I forgot to take my Remind."
Okay, well, actually, for memory, there's a lot of good stuff in here for a lot of things, but I don't see much that's going to do a whole lot for your brain function. I think there are better and cheaper things I could do to help your brain function.
Okay. Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Resveratrol and citicoline would be the two that immediately come to mind. And they both of those have some good peer-reviewed studies showing that older women get better brain function with those compounds.
Yeah, I mean, it's like we talk and we forget what we're saying.
Yes.
And, I always have a language problem because I'm French before. Mm-hmm. And I've been here for many years. I should speak very nice English, but most of the time, it's not that great. But
well, you've got a lot less accent than my wife. So
there you go.
What is your wife from?
She's Chinese, but she speaks Szechuanese, Mandarin, Swedish, some Norwegian, and English. And when I met her, she was living in Sweden and doing business in Norway and Finland. So. Her accent is her English accent is kind of interesting. So.
mine is going away. I think I was born in North Africa in Algeria, and my mother is Czech and my dad is full blood Spanish. Uh-huh. So and we were French citizens. So
talk about multiculturalism.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. I came in 1962. I've been here since 1962, so I should speak well English, but not that great. So,
a simpler, cheaper thing would be resveratrol.
Yeah.
Okay. Resveratrol's got some studies, especially done in postmenopausal women, that shows improved blood flow to the brain and better cognitive skills.
Or can you spell it for me, and where do I get that?
You can call my clinic, and we'll get it for you. We carry it in our store. Okay. Resveratrol, R-E-S-V-E-R-A-T-R-O-L.
A-T-R-O-L. And that should do something for my memory.
Yes, ma'am.
Wow.
All right. Hey, Michelle, we got to run. We've got several other people waiting on the line, okay?
Thank you very much for your call.
You're welcome.
You're very welcome.
Bye-bye.
All right. Tom in Kirkland has a question for the doctors. Hi, Tom.
Hello, Tom.
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, it's going well, sir.
Good. See, I've got a question regarding statins, metformin, and weightlifting. I'm currently on a statin. I've come across studies that say that statins blunt muscle growth, as does metformin. But if you take the two of them together, that blunting effect is canceled out. Is that true?
I don't know. The metformin's a SIRT1 inhibitor. Statins basically are SIRT1 stimulators. So maybe. You know, why they would, I guess if the doses were equivalent in the sirtuin impact, they might cancel out. Yeah,
well,
I haven't seen a study on it, but, you know, just kind of thinking about their mechanisms of action, maybe.
Okay. Well, I'm 66 years old. I lift weights 3 times a week. So I'm a little leery of drugs that will curb muscle growth.
Okay.
But so is that, I guess I'll just keep lifting. The metformin prescription is new, so I haven't taken that yet.
Okay. Well, if you're using metformin, just make sure that you have plenty of B vitamins with it. The biggest problem with metformin is that it decreases absorption of the B vitamins. And those, if you get B vitamin deficient, then you're not able to make neurologic functions as well. So you can get memory and balance and coordination, proprioception problems. So metformin is a good drug in some ways. It lowers blood sugar, but it's certain, and it tends to extend lifespan because it's a SIRT1 inhibitor. But it does lower B vitamins, and you need to make sure you supplement yourself well with that. If you're trying to lift weights and make muscle, why not use creatine?
I do.
Okay. Yeah, so if you're taking 3-4 grams of creatine a day, that's, you know, one of the most effective things you can do to enhance your muscle mass and strength.
Okay, yeah, I've noticed a big boost with creatine.
Mm-hmm. Very effective.
So,
all right.
Okay.
Thank you for the call,
sir. All right, well, sorry about my voice, but thank you for your answers.
You're welcome,
sir. Thank you, Tom, for the great questions. A quick break and then back with Susan, Kathy, and Jane. Lots of questions for the doctors on this busy Leading Edge Medicine Day. We are live in the studio. We'll be right back. Stay right there.
Absolutely.
And Dr. Umat dancing in the studio.
I think I'm getting a little better at it as I go.
There you go. Yes.
76 years of practice. I ought to be pretty good by now.
I think so. Mm-hmm. Happy birthday to you, Doctor. In a couple more weeks, right?
Yes, it's coming up, isn't it?
It is. 2 weeks from Monday.
Okay. Very good. Well, we've got lots of calls and not very much time. Let's dive right into Susan calling in from Gig Harbor. Hi, Susan.
Hi. How are you doing?
We're good.
Good. How can we help you, Susan?
Well, my daughter, she's 40 now, but when she was 39, she was diagnosed with stage 2 ovarian cancer, and they removed the tumor and all of, they did a full hysterectomy, everything. Then she went through chemo, and one of the drugs she had was Taxol. I don't remember the other one. It was a cocktail.
Okay.
So the results of that is that she has severe pain in her bone, specifically one bone going down one side of her leg, or down her leg.
Mm-hmm.
But even when she was having chemo, her teeth would hurt. So what can, is there anything, I was reading and you can get milk thistle supplements for bone pain, but I'm not so sure that's the, I don't know what to suggest. Her doctor, her oncologist says ibuprofen and Tylenol. What do you suggest to help her?
Well, those are kind of the standard medical nostrums.
Mm.
Question is,
and she's on a hormone patch.
Okay.
Okay.
Which hormone? Estradiol?
Probably. I don't know. Whatever the insurance will cover. And she has good insurance. I'm sure it's just real basic stuff.
Okay. Yeah, probably estradiol, which is trying to keep her so she doesn't lose bone as fast. If she were my daughter, I'd also have her on some testosterone to help her grow new bone faster.
Okay.
I'd also consider putting her on a big whack of resveratrol.
Oh.
Okay. Resveratrol has a quasi-estrogenic effect on bone. It actually helps to stimulate bone production. One of the biggest problems with people that have been on chemotherapy is they get osteoporosis really bad. And everything just hurts because the bones are thinning out and are not able to, you know, to provide the support they ought to. So estrogen slows bone loss, but testosterone stimulates bone growth. And so I'd have her on the testosterone, the estradiol, to promote, you know, densest bones I could get, and then the resveratrol, which also helps make bones thicker, but it also decreases pain perception. There are some studies on resveratrol. When they gave it to people before surgery, they needed less anesthetic or less analgesia, less pain medicine after surgery, just because it decreases proprioception or decreases nociception, so they don't feel as much.
Okay.
So, get her to a doctor who recognizes that testosterone is the primary hormone in women. It's not estrogen, and we'll get her testosterone and her estrogen and the resveratrol. Uh-huh.
I hear you talk about that every week. I listen to you, and I appreciate your work and your knowledge. What kind of doctor should she go to? I mean, she sees an oncologist for her. It's a gynecologist at UW. I mean, she has the best.
Yeah, gynecologic oncologist, sure. But and that's what I would expect. You know, the number of physicians who really know that women need testosterone, I can probably count them on the fingers of my hands in the entire Seattle area.
Mm. Yeah.
Most docs still believe that estrogen is the female hormone, and it just isn't. So, you know, she's the sort of person that would benefit from being a patient at our clinic, but I can't make her do it.
She's in Eastern Washington, so I would need to get her over here for you.
She'd need to come over at least once every 3 years.
Oh, is that all, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
The new law in Washington is that if we see them in person and we get them started, so we've developed a legitimate doctor-patient relationship, we can treat them by telemedicine. So, you know, we'd have to do video chats. But we can do video visits for up to 3 years before they have to be seen in person again. At least that's the current law now. Mm-hmm. Who knows when the politicians may change it, but that's currently the law.
Okay. Well, this is very good information. I will get her on board and try to get her into your clinic as a patient, because she really does need some help. And I think that your practice is the best one. So thank you so very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you for your call, Susan. All right. We have a few more minutes left. Let's head over to Des Moines. We've got Kathy. Kathy, good morning. Let's see if we can answer your question.
Good morning, Kathy.
Oh, good morning. You know, I was wondering, is there any reason why a 65-year-old woman would not take the tadalafil?
Low blood pressure, because it does tend to drop blood pressure a bit, but most 65-year-old women have more problem with high than low.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some folks are more sensitive to it than others. The side effects are basically irritated eyes, feel like they're kind of dry, flushing in the face. A few people, if the dose is too high, will get headaches. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, everything known to man. You know, Dr. Mixon's first rule of medicine, anything strong enough to help is strong enough to hurt. Every decision we've got has got some adverse effects associated with it. But tadalafil is pretty benign, especially when you're using low doses.
Yeah. Would that be the 5 milligrams a day?
Yeah. It comes in a 2.5, 5, 10, and 20 milligram capsule.
But traditionally, it's been a drug used for men, and therefore it'll raise eyebrows, and a lot of people don't prescribe it for women.
That's right. Yeah, it's thought of as an erectile disorder drug because that's what it was originally written for back in the 1990s. But we now know that it lowers the risk of heart attacks, it lowers the risk of cancer spreading early, it lowers the risk of prostate cancers in men, it helps urination, it improves blood flow to the brain so it can help memory and concentration. I mean,
I could use that.
Yeah, it's just got so many benefits that, you know, I looked at it several years ago and said, I want this for my wife, and if I'm going to use it for my wife, why aren't we using it for other people's wives? So
I remember you saying there was a cheaper way, like you cut it in half, you can order the larger dose.
Yeah, you can do that. But, you know, again, it's gotten so cheap. Used to be it was $20 a pill. And you know, you'd buy a 20 milligram and you cut it into four pieces. And then it was $5 a pill. But now it's like 50 cents a pill.
Okay. Okay, great. I'm a patient there, so I could just talk to my doctor.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, sounds great. All right, well, thank you.
You're welcome. Take care, dear. Bye-bye.
All right, thank you for the call, Kathy. All right, and we had one more call waiting, but you know what, Jane? We're going to have to catch you next week. Make sure you call us early on in the show, and we will get your question answered with the doctors. My name is Lynette. I'm here with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, and we invite you to join us every week right here on Leading Edge Medicine, brought to you by Longevity Medical Clinics. And if you have not done it yet, you need to make that appointment for that free health analysis. We do two tests for you, the blood test and the in-body test, and find out what your body is at risk for coming in the future. Don't you want to be the best you can be as you age? Yet we talk about it every single week on the show. Here's that number to call to make your appointment. It's 866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG. Or go to our website, which is lmclinic.com. Again, that's lmclinic.com. Have a great rest of your week. I am taking off on vacation. Mark Holland will fill in next week, and the doctors will return to Leading Edge Medicine. Thank you for listening.